Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be unto God. Well, good morning all. It's good to be here with you this morning. Let's be still for a moment and pray, and we'll have a look at these words of scripture together. Just as I was worshipping, I was really struck by this picture here. I'm sure you've all stared at it many times, but with two shackles broken with a cross in the middle. And I wonder whether we just hold that in our minds and hearts as we pray. Let's do that. Lord, in a moment of silence. Father, we want to thank you this morning that you came to set us free. And Lord, for each one of us carrying burdens and facing challenges in different ways in our lives, we'll take a moment now to focus on the cross, your resurrection. And Lord, to lay before you all those things that we're carrying. Help us to do that now, Lord, trusting you in faith. Think of those words that you spoke, Jesus. "Come to me, all those who are heavily burdened and weary." And so we lay ourselves, those things we're carrying before you now. We're praying you come and speak to us. Come and feed us, Lord, by your word. Draw near to us by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, as Jackie said, we're looking at the last in the series of A Spirit-Filled Life. And we've all been on a journey together looking at who is the Spirit, how we're filled by the Spirit, what are the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And today, briefly, we're going to look at the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we do this, I want to ask you a question to begin with. And the questions are these. Who is God calling you to at the moment? Is God putting someone on your heart? Is he giving you a nudge with his Holy Spirit to speak to someone, to pray for someone, to draw alongside someone? Who is he calling you to?
The next one down.
Just as you hold that question in your heart, I want to very briefly just give you a quick overview of a reminder of the Holy Spirit in the whole of the Bible. I'm going to try and do this in a minute. And it's helpful, actually, as we come to the end of this series, just to be reminded of who the Spirit is and how the Spirit works. The Spirit arrives first. We see the Spirit in Genesis 1, hovering over the waters. And the Spirit appears at different times in the Old Testament, filling different people for different reasons. And in fact, it was the words of God through Ezekiel when he said, "I will put my Spirit in you." It was a signpost to something new that was coming. God's promise was that he would put his Spirit in you and me for a particular purpose. And that remained unfulfilled for hundreds of years. But it was with the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, that the Spirit came and filled.
People around filled Jesus himself. And then Jesus, as you know, was crucified. He rose again. And just before his ascension, he said, "My power will come upon you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit." And the disciples in Jerusalem at the time waited, and they waited. And then on the day of Pentecost, this explosion of the Holy Spirit filling people. And it was that that fueled the sending out of the disciples from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I just want to encourage you, we've just heard a short passage from Acts of the Apostles. If you haven't ever taken time to sit down and read Acts of the Apostles from beginning to end, give it a go. It will build faith in you. We read about signs and wonders and miracles. And in the context of everything that we've been hearing about this morning, we believe in a God who does the impossible, don't we? We believe in a God who performs miracles. And so I just encourage you to build up faith within each one of us. Take some time to read through the Acts of the Apostles, maybe even this afternoon. But we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Now, the reason why I wanted to give you this sort of very brief overview of the Holy Spirit through Scripture is because it's with that in mind that we then see that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit are sent to us, given to us, for a purpose. And this purpose is mission. I don't know whether you heard this expression, missio Dei, this idea of God as mission, his very purpose, God's purpose is mission in us and around us. And this word mission means sending. And so the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit in you and me is to fill us, to heal us, to equip us, to then send us out, that you and I would be able to point people to Jesus Christ, to help people see Jesus and to come to know his truth and his purposes for them. And this is where Philip and this encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch comes in. And I haven't got long, so I'm just going to briefly give you two thoughts this morning that we see when we read through this passage of Scripture. And the first is this, that in order for us to be Spirit-filled, actually it's really key that we are obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that we're obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. Now, Liz and I have three children, and they keep changing ages. It's very frustrating, but they're last I think they were 9, 8, and 5. They're sort of there, there, and there. And our children get so fed up of Liz and me saying, "Don't do this, walk on this side of the pavement, don't eat that, don't hit your brother with this, please don't eat bugs that you find in the garden." The list goes on. And the reason why we're saying this is not because we're bored and we've got nothing better to do in our lives, but we love our children. We absolutely love them. And we want them to grow up, to flourish, to grow in their... their health as well as their spiritual health. We don't want them to be whacking each other with sticks over the head. We don't want them to be just eating any random bug, which they do, that they find in the garden. And we don't want them to have an accident walking in the wrong place on the road. We say these things out of love. And actually, it's not dissimilar with God our Father. He longs for us to be obedient to him because he cares for us, because he loves us, because he knows best for us. And actually, when we see who it is that is trying to lead us, that it is our loving Father whom we can trust, then actually faith builds within us and trust builds within us and obedience then follows. But one of the problems is that just as our children age 5, what did I say? 5, 8 and 9, struggle to be obedient to us. We also struggle with obedience, don't we, with God? And actually this very word obedience often makes us shudder because we think that sounds like control, but it's not. And when we see that it's our loving Father who is speaking to us through his Spirit, we realize actually we can trust him. And not only can we trust him, but we need to be obedient to his voice through the prompting of his Spirit. Now, Philip was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have a quick glance through chapter 8 of Acts, you'll see that from, what is it, verse 4, we read about Philip in Samaria, and he's in Samaria ministering. There's miracles, there's signs, there's wonders, there's people coming to faith. And then if you have a look further down through to verse 26, you'll see that there were people laying hands on one another. They were praying for each other to be filled with the Spirit, for people to come to faith and for God's Spirit to be filling each one of them. And then what we see in verse 26 is this. We read, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, as we read on in the passage, we can see that that angel of the Lord was the Spirit of God. And so Philip receives this instruction from the Spirit, go south to this road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And there's no explanation of why. Philip doesn't get a why then. He doesn't even get instructions on where to go on this road. It's just go to this road. And then in verse 29, the Spirit tells him, go to this chariot and stay near it. Now, I don't know what you were thinking when you heard this, but I think if it was most of us, we'd probably be thinking, really, Lord? Go to the desert? I mean, people don't live in the desert, do they? Why do you want me to go to the desert when I could stay here in Samaria and do all of your good work here? And why do you want me to go to a chariot? You're asking me, Lord, to jog alongside a chariot next to someone who I have no idea who is in this chariot. And it would have been the equivalent of being asked to sort of jog alongside a limousine that was carrying the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Because that's what this guy was. This Ethiopian eunuch was the Chancellor of the Exchequer of Ethiopia. But Philip doesn't hesitate. He doesn't hold back. He just does it. He hears this voice, the Spirit of God saying, go. And he goes without question. And it is this that is the trigger for everything else that happens. It's this act of obedience that then leads Philip to meet this Ethiopian man, to unpack the scriptures with him, that he would come to faith, and that this Ethiopian man would then go on and share the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Ethiopia at the time was the ends of the earth. This was part of what was being fulfilled through Jesus' command to go out and make disciples. So we see something about the importance of you and I being obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to you in your life right now? Who is he calling you to? What is he asking you to do? It might be something as bizarre as being called to the desert to run alongside a chariot. I have no idea. But only you know, what is the Lord asking you to do? Maybe it's Pakistan. Well, that's the right country, isn't it, Gillian? That would be awful, sending you to the wrong country. What is he asking you to do? We're called to be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. And then the second and last thing is this, that through this passage we see it's really important that you and I join in with whatever the Spirit is already doing. That we look around, we see what the Spirit is doing, and we join in with it. When I was 16 years old, my life was an absolute mess. And I mean, some of you may have heard my story. I hadn't grown up in a Christian family. Both my parents were raging alcoholics. I mean, our family was very dysfunctional. I was angry, I was lost, I was bitter. And I had no meaning in my life at all. And we'd never been to church, not once. My family never went to church. They didn't believe in God. And yet, I found this, and this is the exact one. I found it this morning. This little book on our bookshelf. And it's a Gideon New Testament and Psalms. And in it, you know, when you're a child, you write your name in massive letters. Look, I've written David Walker in big capitals. And in this Gideon's Bible, some of you will know, there's a section that says where to find help when. And I remember turning the pages in the depths of where I was. And I read where to find help when you're afraid, when you're anxious, when you're discouraged, when you're lonely. It goes on. When you're in temptation, when you're weary, when you're worried. And I remember gripping onto this thing and thinking, I have never heard this. I have never seen anything like this in my life. And at the time, as I was going through this, clearly the Spirit was doing something in here. A friend of mine invited me to church, age 16, and I went and I was terrified. And I stood at the back, and at the end of the service, God led a man called Jim Pendlebury to come and speak to me. And I can still picture Jim. It wasn't on a desert road. It was in the metropolis that is Woking in Surrey. And Jim came up to me and he asked me some gentle questions. And he said, can I pray for you? And he prayed for me. And it was in that moment, very gently but powerfully, that Christ came and entered my heart. And that was the beginning of my life, as far as I'm concerned. Everything changed in that moment. But I suppose what I'm trying to explain is that the Spirit was doing something in here in me before I met Jim. But Jim saw what the Spirit was doing in this young, broken 16-year-old, and he joined in with it. And what we see here is that Philip does something very similar. This Ethiopian man, this eunuch, had been to Jerusalem. We read that he was travelling back from Jerusalem. And we know from the Old Testament that eunuchs weren't allowed into the temple. So he would have been held outside by the temple guards. But God was stirring something within him. He'd been to Jerusalem, which was, you know, it was a long way to go. Whether he knew he couldn't get in or not, I don't know. But he was held off. And he somehow got hold of this scroll with these words of Isaiah 53 on them. And he's traveling back from Jerusalem. And he's reading these words of Isaiah 53. The Spirit of God is already at work in him. And Philip, obedient to the Spirit's prompting, finds himself on this desert road, jogging alongside this chariot. And he hears these words being spoken out. Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And back then, people would have, when they read, they spoke out loud. So Philip heard these words as he's jogging alongside this chariot. And he shouts out, do you understand what you're reading, what you're hearing? And God then opens this door. Literally, the chariot stops. This chancellor of the exchequer opens the door, welcomes in Philip. And Philip has this opportunity to explain what all of this means. And it's this picture. It's this picture of Jesus Christ being sent, missio Dei, by God, to come down for you and for me and for this Ethiopian eunuch in the life of Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to rise again, and to bring us freedom. That's what I love about that picture. It's freedom, it's forgiveness and redemption, the most precious gift that anyone could give us. And this Ethiopian man comes to faith, and then we read on that Further down the road, he says, stop, 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 I want to get baptized. And Philip baptizes him. This is the way the kingdom of God grows. It's one by one. And it's actually about you and me being empowered by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, so that you and I can share Jesus with the people who we live next door to, the people we work with, the people who are in our family and our friends, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are to look around, to pray, Lord, what are you doing? See what the Spirit is doing and join in with what God is doing. And then God does his bit. His call to you and me is to discern and to join in and to use our words and our actions, our lives, to give to him. But then he redeems and saves and restores. Who is God calling you to at the moment? Who is he giving you a burden for? What is the Spirit doing around you, in the lives of those around you? What is he calling you to? I'm aware that all of this is deeply uncomfortable when we think about mission. And it's very easy for a vicar to stand here and say, we must all go out and proclaim the gospel and bring the good news to the people. But if you're anything like me, and I suspect we're all pretty similar, there's an element that we're all terrified. We all feel ill-equipped. We don't really feel like we've got the words or the way to do this. And we need the boldness that comes from the Holy Spirit filling us. But actually, God chooses, this is an amazing truth, isn't it? He chooses to partner with you and me because we are weak and dependent upon him. Because we don't have all the answers. And because it's only gripping onto him and his calling on his Holy Spirit that actually any of this is going to happen. And I just want to finish with a very brief story. And it's a true story of a Scot called John Patton, and he was a missionary in the 19th century. And he was sent out to the Southwest Pacific. And he found himself on this little island, and he was living amongst the people there, getting to know them, trying to share the good news of Jesus with them. But he didn't have the language to explain everything that he was trying to explain. He didn't have the word for faith. And he was really struggling to communicate some of the gospel. And a group came into his room one morning, and he was sat in a chair, and he suddenly had a thought. I'll do a visual aid at this point, might help. He was sat in this chair, and he suddenly lifted his legs up. Goodness, I'm so stiff, I can barely do that. He lifted his legs up, and he said, what am I doing? And they said this word, and he realized in that moment that this word meant to lean one's whole weight upon. And he said, that is how I want you to understand faith. That you are to lean your whole weight upon Jesus. And actually, as we think about what it means to live this Spirit-filled life, it's that in its most basic form. We've just got to lean our whole weight upon Christ. To be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. And just to pray, Lord, what are you doing? And join in with it. Whatever it involves and wherever it takes us. So why don't we pray now? I wonder whether actually, I don't know, Jackie, whether this is allowed, a good idea, but I just think you know what God is calling you to. You know who he's putting on your heart. And whether actually we just take 5 minutes now to pray in little groups, maybe twos, threes. If you don't want to pray with someone, you can just be still on your own and just ask God, Lord, who are you calling me to? What are you doing? Where do you want me? But it may be that just even this morning, in the context of hearing what's going on in this community, that you know exactly who God's calling you to. So let's just take some time to gather together to pray that we would be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit, that we'd see what God is doing, that we'd join in, just like Philip. And then I think we're going to worship before we close. Does that sound all right? Let me just pray briefly, and then we'll move around and pray for one another. Father, we thank you that you are at work here in this community. And Lord, we're praying that you would help us to hear your still small voice. Help us to lay down our agendas, our desires. And in this moment, Lord, we seek you. Come, Spirit of God, move amongst us now as we pray for one another, for those that you're laying on our hearts, that we would see what you're doing, we would join in with it, Lord, and that through it, we would see your resurrection power at work. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's gather and pray together.